We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Thank you.
So, Mike Nolan, let me start with you. For those who don't know, what is a CSA?
So a CSA is a way for people to connect with a farm and basically buy a share of the harvest for the season, a part of the season, and it stands for Community Support Agriculture.
Mm-hmm. But when you...
Very short version.
Okay, so Bethany, let me go to you and talk a little bit about how you see CSAs.
We see it as a relationship, like he said, between the community and the farm that provides mutual support and commitment. Since the members commit at the beginning of the season to be customers for the season, and then we as the farmers commit to the community to do all of the work of the seeding, the planting, the growing, harvesting, and delivering those veggies to them.
So, Bethany, when you just basically did what I'm going to ask, I'm going to ask you to go into a little more depth of how a CSA works.
Absolutely, yeah. So on our farm, we just do produce, so we don't have any animals, anything like that. And we have different size options depending on how many vegetables you eat. And we have different season lengths, whether you want to get a box of veggies, our whole 35 weeks of growing from mid-April to mid-December, or if you just want our peak summer season or just want to try it out for a few weeks. And then we have delivery sites anywhere from Mannheim to Shippensburg and everywhere in between, where we will do weekly box deliveries while we're in season that are farmer's choice of what veggies are ripe that week that we want to send out to our members.
So, Mike, when both of you have said that what a CSA does is establish a relationship between farmer and customer, how do you establish that relationship?
It starts with the customer, I think, either calling us or going to the website, or they hear about it from a friend. I think most of our customers are coming from recommendations from friends. Occasionally they'll go through a website like localharvest.org that lists a lot of the different small farms regionally, and I think even nationally now. And then what they do is they'll give us a call or they'll email us asking what our options are. Our website explains everything. So we have a very small CSA. We used to be a lot bigger, and we just have scaled it back over the years to manage other things that we've got going on, like kids.
That will do it.
So we have the option where we will build a box for them and decide for them, or they have the option to join a more customizable CSA. So we'll carry products from other farms too, like milk, eggs, coffee. From elementary and little lamps, for example, we carry their coffees. There's lots of different options they can sign up for. Flowers. We do a big flower thing now where they can get bouquets to the farm, to the CSA. So
when you say small compared to large, I mean, if we're looking at just straight numbers, I don't know how we'd compare that. But what do you define as small compared to you used to be larger?
Right now, we're maxed out at 50 CSAs, and we used to do about 650.
Wow.
We were in around 500 to 650. Now, I think Spiral Path, you guys are, what, 2 or 3,000?
We're around 1,500 now, yeah.
Okay, so
I know that when you say 1,500, Bethany, those are 1,500 customers that you have a relationship with?
Yes, so those are 1,500 people we send a box to every week while we're in season. Our relationship, most of the time, I will say, is digitally through social media, keeping them updated on what's going on, weekly newsletters that we put in those boxes of vegetables, and then just phone calls and emails. But we do try to give them a chance for face-to-face relationships by inviting them out to our farm for a couple of open farm days each season, where we get to talk to them, give them tours of the farm, and let them get to know the staff and the people who are growing their vegetables.
Why is that important, the face-to-face?
We think it's very important here because there's a difference in relationship of just trusting someone over the phone and computer than getting to come and actually physically see where your produce is being grown and who's actually touching and taking care of what you're eating.
Is that important to the customer?
A lot of them say it is. We have scaled down our open farm days actually over the years, and we've gotten a lot of negative feedback when we've reduced those just because they love getting to come out and have that personal relationship that they then, when they're sharing with their friends about the program, they're like, oh yeah, I went to the farm. I talked to the farmer. I talked to this person, no personal details about us. It makes a difference in that relationship to know us on a more personal level.
Mike, are you able to do that, or have you done that where your customers come out to the farm?
Yes, Scott, we do do that. Well, once a year we invite people to come out to the farm, and they love it. Just like Bethany was saying, once they come out to the farm and they see what's going on, they understand the work, they're definitely more invested in it. They can actually have a better idea of what's happening. If you can, sometimes we'll turn it into work days depending on who we have, and they might just be able to volunteer for a few hours. But that's like a once a year thing. It's a little tricky.
So
it is a great way for them to connect, and we do have opportunities. Some people, we do have a part of our farm where people do work in exchange for produce and eggs and milk. There's just a handful of people that come in every season, so it's not a big thing. But you know, they come in, they make bouquets, they help us pack boxes, whatever. It's just simple, easy work, but it's really valuable to us. And those people also are, you know, they tend to be big, big fans of the farm too. So
this concept of the customers working for food, I think that is so cool. Do they enjoy it? I mean, are they readily into it? Or do you stand over them with a whip and say, hey, you guys got to do this?
Hey, they have to be trainable. Okay. So they do have to be able to follow instructions, and things have got to be done in a timely manner. Now, do I expect them to keep up with myself or, you know, my full-time workers? Absolutely not. So there's different standards. Now, some of them become employees down the road. Some of them have gone on, you know, have started as work shares and stayed on to become workers later on. But that, you know, so that happens. That's a possibility too. And I have like a whole crew of people down in, like, we do a farmer's market down in Washington, D.C., and they like to come up. I've got 13 or 15 people down there. They come up a few times a year. They camp out. They're mostly young. They camp out. They work. You know, we make some food, and it's just a nice way to have community also. So
I just want to correct something I just said or apologize for it. You know, standing over them with a whip is probably not the best way.
Only when I have to, Scott.
No.
Whip usually just hangs up on the wall.
That may offend some people, so I will.
Over the door.
I want to just take that back for saying that and misspoke. Okay, so let's talk about the benefits to both farmer and to customer. Bethany, let's talk about the benefit to the customer for joining a CSA?
Absolutely. I'd say there's five big ones. First off, you know that your veggies were, at least on our farm, were just picked the day before. So you've got fresh produce. It's going to last longer because it wasn't shipped over a long distance. And you know when it was being picked. We've got pictures on the internet of us out there harvesting it. It's also for you, then they know where their veggies are coming from, back to those open farm days, and who's been growing those vegetables, packing those vegetables for them. And they know exactly what practices are being used on it. So for our farm, we're certified organic, so they get to come see the farm and know that we're actually using no pesticides, using no herbicides, those sorts of things that fall under certified organic, rather than, again, trusting a label in a grocery store. And then also, as far as the local community in general goes, they're supporting both the local economy and local jobs. They're not supporting work and the economy elsewhere that's being shipped into them. And finally, at least for our CSA, it's not that much difference in expense compared to going to the grocery store. For us, our weekly boxes are between $19 to $31, depending on what size or length of season you get. And if you're going to the grocery store, you always have to ask people, how much do you think you're spending on produce each week? Is it that $19, or are you actually ending up spending more and it's not even local or organically grown?
Bethany talked about some of the benefits for consumers. What about you as the farmer? What are the benefits to you as being a CSA?
For us, now I started the farm as exclusively as a CSA farm, and then we do a couple other things too. But for us, the benefit is we get to showcase what we're growing. We get to showcase what other farms are doing too, because like we don't grow everything that we put in the CSA. So we will pull in from other farms that we know. They are almost all organic, with the exception of maybe a fruit farm. And then the benefit for us is that we just get a constant stream of revenue all year, because we do run all year with our CSA. Our CSA is, you can also put your CSA on hold with ours. And then, so we'll see the numbers sort of decrease over the wintertime and then pick up during the summertime and fall. And that's just a trend that we deal with. But it's just a nice little cash flow that kind of keeps things moving for us.
I mean, is that cash flow important to running your farm? That, I mean, you have money up front for what you need?
Ours is set up so it's week to week.
Okay,
so they're in a system where they pay week to week. We used to do the upfront system, have them pay 10, 20 weeks out ahead. We do not do that any longer.
And, you know, Bethany, you mentioned that earlier. So what it shows is that there are different options for consumers out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ours is a majority pay up front, but we also have monthly and 4 installment payment plans. So the majority that do pay up front, like you said, provide us with the money we need to invest in the seeds and the machinery for the season and supplies without having to take out loans and pay so much interest on all that. And also, since they commit with the purchase up front, we know for sure we have customers for the rest of the year, and everything we planted already has a buyer, versus the week-to-week system of having to find a buyer every week for what you're growing.
Okay, when you're paying up front, when the customer's paying up front, what if the crop they want, the product they want, you have a bad year, for example, you know, a specific product. What about that?
Absolutely. Last year we had it with our strawberries, that late frost at Mother's Day did some damage to our strawberry crop, which is a favorite of pretty much all of our members.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things you commit to with the CSA, is you're going to ride the ups and downs of nature with the farmer. And I mean, even if we have an issue with one crop, we're going to make it up in other areas with other crops. So you're always going to have plenty of produce. You may just have less of one item, different seasons of different items.
Now, Mike, let me ask, what do you grow? What products do you have available? I mean, if there are too many, you can't list them all, but what are some of the most popular?
The most popular for us is probably the lettuce. We do a lot of lettuce. We do, of course, lots of tomatoes. Cucumbers are a big thing for us. We grow those in the greenhouses almost exclusively, just because they're more protected and there we have a little more control. Any of the other greens you can think of. We do a lot of Asian greens. We do a lot of bok choy, tatsoi, Chinese broccoli, lots of specialty herbs we do also. And those are all available on the CSA, and they get to choose if they want it or not. That the customizable part of the CSA is also trickier for us, because it takes more work in the barn. And that's another reason why we keep the CSA small, so it's not that hard. But people can – so if we have a down – if we do have a crop failure or a problem with things like Spiral Path had with their strawberries, I've already set up the expectation the week before by giving them the list that they choose from. So if it's not on there, it's just not on there. And if it's back on, it's back on later. Or I'll find it from another farm, and I'll just tell them it's coming from another farm. So we do, basically we do everything except for a couple of big things. We don't do a lot of sweet corn. We bring that in, and we don't do potatoes and sweet potatoes. We bring those in also, but everything else we grow garlic, we grow onions. and pretty much every other vegetable out there. I think okra is the only other one we probably don't grow. That we did that. It's just hard to keep on top of that harvest, and no one enjoys harvesting okra. It's just very itchy on the skin.
And I don't know. Is there a big market for okra in the north?
Not that we found, no.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it is. People like it. And some people do like it.
I know in the South that is big. Bethany, what about you? What are some of your more popular products?
I'd say our most beloved by our CSA members are our melons, our strawberries, and our sweet corn. Anything that comes through really sweet is what they love the most. But a lot of people also sign up because we send out kale pretty frequently, and salad greens, like Mike was saying, leafy greens is something that people who want to eat healthier are often looking for. So that's a pretty much a staple in each week's box. And then in the summer, we've got loads of cucumbers, zucchini, tomatoes, and peppers that are also a staple in those boxes. But we have a large variety of vegetables, more than I can count offhand real fast. And those, it's a seasonal thing for us. So there's a lot of stuff that only comes in a certain month or a week or two of the year, like peas or black raspberries, that sort of thing. And members really just love the variety of not getting the exact same thing every week in each box and getting to experiment with different veggies. Very trial each year, we try to trial out a couple different seeds, either different varieties of stuff we grow or different vegetables. Right now we're trialing different seeds for honeydew because we really want to get that in boxes for members and just haven't found one that works great for us yet. So as we find them, we like to give them out to members. And if they like them, they stay on the list.
We have a question from a listener. It says, without having animals on your farm, what do you do to replace the nutrients that are taken from the soil in your harvested produce?
Absolutely. So we have two methods. We do all of our, instead of using manure in our fields, we use compost. And that is created from the grass that we cut but off between the fields and on our hills that are too steep. And then also any vegetables counted as quote unquote like rejects. Like, so any tomato that's not up to standard or stuff like that goes into that compost. And other than adding a couple minerals sometimes when it's low in something, that compost is, we know it's directly from our farm for the most part, going straight back out onto our farm. So we like to say that no veggie goes to waste because either it's getting eaten or it's going to go support next year's vegetables. Oh. And then secondly, we grow cover crop on our fields in between each growing. So say we harvest tomatoes from a field, we're planting clover, vetch, and rye on that field that pulls nitrogen out of the air back down into the soil before we plant the next thing, which it won't be tomatoes again. Maybe it's peppers or something else that year, so that we're on a constant rotation rather than having the same crop depleting that soil from year to year.
You know, you guys are making me hungry just having this conversation. So I'm about 5 minutes away from lunch. We have about 2 minutes left. I'm sure, Mike, there are a lot of people wondering about prices. Now, I'm not looking specifically for prices, but how does the cost of belonging to a CSA compare with going to the grocery store, for example?
It depends on which option you sign up for. We have our Back to Basics box, which is a basic CSA where I make the decision to what to put in there. I think that's probably the most economical. and then after that, we've got four choices for customization. Customization is more expensive, becomes a little more expensive, I think, than normal. So there are options there that people have. So it depends.
So what's the least expensive and the most expensive?
The least expensive is going to be the mini, and I think that starts at 24. I have to double check their website. And then the maximum one, the large size customizable CSA box, I think is up around 56.
And that's per box?
That's per box, but they can also order meats through that. They can get milk and eggs through that. So they can combine lots of different things. We used to do like separate shares, like there would just be an egg share, a milk share. Now they can just grab whatever they want off the menu and put it in there.
We're almost out of time. I want to thank both of you for being with us today. You've both mentioned your websites. I mean, this is different than hearing a grocery store chain that is advertising on a regular basis. I mean, you talked a lot about your websites and word of mouth and, you know, that kind of thing. So for those who, I'm going to include this on our website, your websites as well, if people are interested. But I want to thank both of you for being with us today. Very interesting. And I always encourage people to shop local, eat local, and all that. And so thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you so much for having us.
For having us.